Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Brew University Virtual Roundtable. I'm your host, Jeff Weaver, and I am excited today to have sitting around the roundtable with me live and in person, although socially distanced, three of our senior leaders to talk a little bit about the year behind and the year ahead. So a big episode of the Virtual Roundtable today, and we're glad you can be here with us. And I'm glad to be sitting here with John Taylor. John, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Great to be here. First time I'm doing this, I believe. So,
first time guest, long time listener, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Also here with us is our new CFO, Zach Cavanaugh. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for being a part of it. And of course, Jay Martin is here with us as well. Jay, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm excited to be here. And this too is my first time as a guest, long time listener, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I would like to note that you guys may be first time, but this is my second time. So I've already been invited on the show once before.
I think that actually makes Zach our second most appearing person on the podcast. I'd have to go back and check the caller logs to be sure on that. All right. Well, this episode is all about the year behind and the year ahead. So we recently just finished up our manager meetings in Florida, where we sort of take a minute and recap the past year and look ahead to the next one. And we thought, since we couldn't do our all company meetings this year in person, due to reasons that I'm sure we'll be discussing here in a moment, that the Virtual Roundtable podcast would be an outstanding opportunity for all of us to get together and, you know, talk about what's coming up and where we've been. But the big story of 2020 obviously has been COVID-19. And it's been quite a year managing all of that stuff. And I guess the first question I have is, for this group, looking back at 2020, how do you think we did managing a pretty unmanageable situation?
Well, Jeff, it was fun to see all the managers in Florida, although it was for me quite difficult to not be able to get together with all the entire employee, the whole staff. So, you know, just let me say that COVID-19 sucks. And I think, you know, as a company, a little over a year ago, we started on a daily basis monitoring COVID, and it hasn't gone away. You know, we're into this for 11 months, and it hasn't gone away, and it will take some time to go away. We need people to get vaccinated. We need people to remain vigilant with social distancing and masks. But I think as a company and all the people that work with us, we did a great job. We pivoted, we moved resources around, and thankfully, you know, we survived COVID so far. No time to let your guard down, but I think we did a great job.
It seems like yesterday, and it seems like years ago. I was on a flight back, actually from Minneapolis on March 13th, and I think right around that time frame was when we all kind of realized, wow, something's going on here. And unfortunately, shortly after that, I think the lockdowns all over the country started on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And then we went into, you know, we had daily meetings trying to figure this out and making sure that we are doing the right things to keep everybody safe and, you know, run this business that's very important to, you know, all our employees, our customers, and our suppliers.
Jeff, I didn't join the company until September last year, but I had moved over from the UK with my family in March, right as this was all beginning to happen. And I had the opportunity to watch sort of from afar how John and the JJ Taylor leadership team managed this crisis. And from the very beginning, you know, the decision-making process that they were undertaking on a daily basis was so grounded in one thing, which was, we're going to make the decision which is going to be best for our employees, right? Which I've come to know now is the JJ Taylor first choice way. But that decision-making process and leading with first choice, I think, has allowed this company to manage through this pandemic in sort of a first-class way.
I think there can be no doubt that we've really put all of our efforts behind doing this and kept employees at the forefront. And if it's in the results. I mean, look at all the things that we've done just in the last year to make sure our employees are safe. We put thermal cameras in almost as fast as anybody could get them. I think we were easily one of the first businesses I knew that was putting those up. You know, we've retained core occupational health. We've got testing on site for our employees. We're doing asymptomatics. You know, we're working diligently now to try and be an employer that can offer vaccines if we can get them. And I think it just, you know, there's been a lot of stuff we've had to do. But yes, I would agree that the theme around all of it is clearly we want to take care of our people. You guys are doing incredibly difficult essential work out there. You're putting yourselves on the front line to keep the beer flowing and to keep retail open. And, you know, it's been fun. As much as everything about it has sucked, it's been fun to watch everybody rally around a cause together, work together, and have this clear, unified vision and mission around, we're going to do whatever we have to do to make our employees safe and well and keep things running.
And I'd just like a shout out to all our employees, because through this, you know, we didn't hesitate for a day to do what we do every day, you know, going out and getting orders, picking the beer, loading the beer, delivering the beer. You know, our customers depended on us because consumers depended on us. And, you know, just the coming together as a team. And, you know, we've had people that have been infected, you know, so they had to quarantine. And when those people are not here and at times, shoot, I think in Florida at one point in time, we had like 21 people that were out. Well, everybody's important here. And, you know, when those 21 people aren't around, everybody else has to, you know, pick up that slack. And it's just amazing that we got everything done. And I think if we asked our customers, you know, nothing changed. They still got the great J.J. Taylor service from excellent employees that, you know, we've always delivered.
Well, a lot of stores ran out of toilet paper, but nobody ran out of beer. So I think not only J.J. Taylor, but all the beer companies did a great job servicing the customers during this very stressful, and it's still stressful, you know. our business, interestingly, last year was up 16% in the off-premise in both Minnesota and Florida, but the difference being in Minnesota due to government lockdowns, our on-premise business, which is a bigger percentage of the business, was down 65%, and then, well, in Florida, it was only down 35%, but still a tough year for the on-premise. And I feel really terrible. We have a lot of great friends, all of us do, that own bars or work in bars and restaurants, and it's been incredibly difficult for those people. You know, across the country, millions of people have lost their jobs, and we're just fortunate that, you know, we do have the off-trade, and we did very well in the off-premise. But a tough year for our friends in the on-premise. And, you know, looking forward, I think when people become more vaccinated, as more people get vaccinated, I think the on-premise will come back. I don't know if it will come back to the levels we saw in 2019, but I do think it'll come back largely. And we look forward to that, and we look forward to socializing again with our good friends in the on-premise.
You mentioned toilet paper. Hopefully everybody's seen that. You know, choices have to be made. There was an Instagram post that went around. Beer cooler, no beer in it, but an 8-pack of toilet paper. Choices have to be made.
So let's talk a little bit about the business side. You mentioned, John, that yes, we were, in fact, you know, we took a nice rise in the off-premise because the business moved over there. Unfortunately, the on-premise sort of, you know, really in Florida and Minnesota, two very different stories, obviously, based on the way the states responded and the way the governors chose to deal with their pandemic issues. Has that increase in the off-premise, has that totally offset the on-premise for us, or are we still seeing some overall declines because of that? And how did that really impact us in a financial sense from the big picture across the two divisions? Or maybe even talk a little bit about the disparity between the two.
Well, in Minnesota, the on-premise was down, as John said, 65%. And even with the off-premise up 16%, we could not overcome that. So our total volume was down about 10%.
And that's because in Minnesota, people who aren't there may not realize, but the on-premise is actually a much larger percent of the business, as it were.
You're right, Jeff. Prior to COVID, 25% of our business in Minnesota was attributed to on-premise, in Florida, 22%. And then, you know, to follow up on that or finish, in Florida, it was being that on-premise was just down, I just say just down 35%, but down 35%, the off-premise was able to overcome that, and Florida was actually up about 5% in volume for the year.
Yeah, once everybody realized they could drink White Claw all day while working from home, they pretty much kept drinking White Claw, didn't they?
And that's part of the equation, too. In Florida, you know, we're fortunate to have Truly and White Claw that are 75% of the volume of seltzers, which is now, I think, north of 10% of total beer. Where in Minnesota, we don't have the two dominant brands, but have done a very good job with the brands that we do have there, one of them being Vizzy, which is doing really well in both markets.
And that's from Miller Lite, right? It's a Miller Coors.
Molson Coors.
Molson, yeah. Coors, thank you. Yes, that's a Molson Coors brand. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about seltzer, because seltzer, another meteoric rise year for that. Well, the total is another seven-figure case add in Florida with seltzer this year, is that right?
In Florida, our seltzer business, our total business was up 1 million cases, and seltzer represented 1.5 million of that. So, you know, our beer portfolio was down 500,000 cases, and the seltzer portfolio was up 1.5 million. That's a lot of cases. And I think seltzer is certainly starting to slow up a little bit, but it's not going to go away. I think there's some new products coming out, but it's I think we're doing a great job with seltzer. It'll be interesting to see as the on-premise does reopen if seltzer finds a real home in the on-premise or not, because sort of at the end of 2019, we did see some action in the on-premise with seltzers, but this past year, 2020, has been a challenge, and a lot of on-premise guys don't have, you know, time, and they don't want to innovate. So it'll be interesting to watch the seltzer in the on-premise segment in 2021.
Other thoughts on 2020 from a business perspective? Any highlights, any particular notables, things that just stuck out at you? I know we've recently been reviewing all the year-end financials and doing the wrap-ups and seeing the final numbers, and I'm just curious if anything has particularly stuck out or any fun facts that you guys want to throw out there for us.
I think we did a great job adapting to the new, and we did make our plan both in Florida and Minnesota, so very pleased with that. We certainly were preparing for the worst, and you know, we became more efficient because we delivered a lot of beer to fewer accounts. So it was from that point of view, it was very good.
And that's just the effect of everything channeling through those essential retailers, right? So it's fewer places were open, fewer stores available, but the same amount of beer going through them means better efficiency for us.
You know, because at the end of the day, we're in the gross profit per delivery business, and we made substantially fewer deliveries because a lot of our small on-premise accounts closed, and honestly, a lot of them haven't opened and may never open. So it was very good from that point of view.
Yeah, I think in both markets, about 20% of our on-premise accounts have never ordered from us since the initial close down in March, which, you know, John mentioned it before, is heartbreaking. You know, those were customers that, you know, albeit most of them small, you know, they were customers, and you know, that was their livelihood.
Jeff, I think the other thing that's apparent when we look at our financials from last year, and hopefully we'll see the same continue into this year, is the premiumization trend shows in our GP per case and overall gross profit numbers. And as we're seeing the shift that John talked about, where we may be down 500,000 cases in beer, but up 1.5 million cases in seltzer, which has better GP numbers, the GP certainly in Florida is trending in the right direction.
And GP, of course, being gross profit. So what we're really saying is it's, you know, seltzer is a more profitable thing to deliver. And we're watching our portfolio shift, thankfully, into the volume growth is also coming in the places where we make more money on those items, which is, it's that nice double whammy effect of, hey, we're going to sell more of it. And when we sell it, we make better than we do on some of our more legacy stuff. So reasons to keep pushing those new and innovative brands, because often those innovative brands come with the better margin for us, right?
Yeah, and similar in Minnesota, I guess it was 2 years ago now, we kind of did a swap with Bernix and picked up, you know, the local craft brands in the Twin Cities, you know, the big one being Castle Danger and, you know, Ooda Pills and Insight and Sociable Cider Works, you know, and that had the same effect. Our gross profit per case in Minnesota is also increasing, which is good.
not to mention, Jay, they also all make amazing beer.
Yeah, I have a lot of favorites. I'm partial to Summit EPA, but Castle Danger Cream Ale is pretty good. And I hadn't had a cream ale since my college days, and then it was a Jenny cream ale in a returnable bottle. So I'm aging myself, and probably said my tastes weren't that good when I was in college.
You can check the show notes for Jenny cream ale advertising if you want to see just how aging Jay is on that one. Any other thoughts, themes from last year before we wrap it up and put it to bed? Any other final thoughts or themes from 2020, things that really, again, stuck out or struck you or you feel like is worth noting about the successes that we had? Because challenging year, but, you know, for us, I think a year certainly with its fair share of wins. And really, overall, we thrived well, I think, in this situation.
I'll just say that it goes back to, you know, the culture that every employee has helped us build here. You know, First Choice. You know, we took care of each other. We took care of our customers. We took care of our suppliers. We haven't talked about safety, but our safety results, you know, even through COVID and everything else that's going on, were very good. So, yeah, 2020, we talk a lot about look at the silver linings, and there were silver linings. And, you know, in 2021 and beyond, we just have to focus on those silver linings and move forward.
One more. Do you want to talk a bit about market share growth?
Yeah. I'll add to that. While we can't or we don't get numbers in Minnesota to track market share, in Florida, the state collects from all the wholesalers their volumes based on the taxes that have to be paid, and they share that with us. And we've been tracking this since the beginning of time. And Florida in 2020 gained an unprecedented 1.5 share points of share out of our competition, which is, you know, amazing. And, you know, that's just a testament to seltzers and, you know, having brands, but to the hard work that the team in Florida's put in over several years.
Yeah, in Florida, J.J. Taylor had the 100% of the industry gain in 2020, which is remarkable.
All right. So, you know, 2020 is now officially behind us, and we're turning the corner here into the new year. And the new year kicked off with a pretty exciting event that I want to see if you guys have any thoughts on, which was Super Bowl in Tampa. Bit of a weird one, as usual, for 2020, because we had very little attendance and not what we would normally expect. But how did the Super Bowl end up going for us, other than, of course, that our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought home the Lombardi Trophy?
Well, in Florida, since I've been here, this was our third Super Bowl in town. And this is the second time the Buccaneers have won the Super Bowl. And what we've learned from that is you don't necessarily want Super Bowl in your town, but you want your team in the Super Bowl. And what I mean by that is in 2001, the Super Bowl was in Tampa. The Buccaneers were not in it. And when Super Bowl's in your town, there's just a lot of work that has to be put in, you know, delivering special events. You know, they set up security zones. It, you know, typically it takes 30 minutes to deliver a stadium. Now it takes 4 hours. I mean, it's just on and on. And there's really no volume increase having Super Bowl in your town. The following year, the Buccaneers were in the Super Bowl, was played in San Diego, and our volume was up, I forget exactly, but it was double digit that month. So, and it makes sense because they're playing, you know, if you're a wild card, you've got to play 3 playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, then the Super Bowl, and everybody in town cares, and they're in the bars, and they're at home, and they're drinking our great products.
The Super Bowl was a great event, and for us it worked out perfectly because because of COVID, there wasn't the associated headache of corporate parties and do this and do donate beer to that and so on and so forth. But and we were also fortunate that we were able to get quite a few tickets, and Tom Stoffer and Casey Taylor were able to host, I think about 14 employees, some drivers and salesmen and warehouse guys, merchandisers. So it was a once in a lifetime event because this is the first time in 55 Super Bowls that the home team has been in the Super Bowl. So that's super cool. And I know they all had a good time. And it, I don't know if it was a very good game, but if you're a Tampa Bay fan, it was great fun to watch.
Yeah, it probably was not much to watch if you weren't a Tampa Bay fan, but oh, I had a good night. It was as a lifelong Buccaneer fan since the Sombrero days, I had a good time watching that one.
I just want to add, we were able to do the same thing in Minnesota. The Vikings weren't in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis and did the same thing. Had the opportunity to purchase tickets and took several employees. And I had the privilege of being there, hosting them. Chris was there and a couple other management team, but it was a really good time.
Well, and I think that's just another great example of how we do what we need to do to put our employees first and make sure that they're taken care of. Because, you know, in a normal Super Bowl year, we probably would have had more tickets available to us because we would have had all our normal seats. We probably would have borrowed in some from other distributors. I know when it was in Miami a year ago, I think we, you know, helped out in there and we didn't get any of that back this time. And yet when we had a limited opportunity for some tickets, we made sure that our employees were taken care of before we worried, you know, normally again, in a non-COVID year, we probably would have had guests and suppliers or customer friends that could have joined us. But with this one, you know, the limited we had, we put our employees first and we made sure that they got to enjoy that experience. And thank you to you guys all for helping make that happen. I know that, you know, you guys had a hand in making that possible.
Well, just for an example, the Minnesota Vikings, I called them to see if we could get any tickets from them. And they only got 30 tickets for the entire organization, which is, you know, normally they'd get, I don't know, 1,000 or something. So tickets were pretty tough to get. And then on the open market, they were selling for quite a bit of money, but we did put our employees first instead of going to the scalper and selling those off on the street.
Well, we as established, we'd already made the year, so we were in good shape.
Yeah, but we haven't made 2021 yet.
Fair point.
Well, we had determined that if we were going to scalp them, we were going to send Zach out on the corner and have him do it. So,
yeah, I lived in Boston for many years, and I have a lot of experience scalping tickets outside Fenway
Park.
That's
in the other duties as assigned on your job description if you hadn't read all the way through there.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Any other thoughts on Super Bowl before we move on?
Let's do it again.
Back to back, right? There, Tampa Bay is, and we didn't even touch on that, but of course, you know, in our Tampa market, we had the blessing of a Stanley Cup, a Lombardi Trophy, and a finals appearance by the Rays. So hopefully another year on its way, because it would be great to bring all that back in a year where more places can be open and more people can get out to celebrate.
Well, I think the Buccaneers, you know, it's tough to go back-to-back, but I think they're able to keep most of what they have in place. So I think they can be a contender. And, you know, the Vikings had a little bit of a down year, but, you know, I'm confident that they'll put some pieces in place that they need and, you know, they'll be a contender also. So it'll be an exciting year when it gets here, and it'll be here before we know it.
And as we're scouring the market for the next big thing in beverage alcohol, we should keep our eyes peeled for that avocado tequila that Tom Brady was drinking, because that may be huge.
It was apparently very efficient from the photos I saw.
We just need to get him in the back of a pickup truck with Miller Lite instead of Bud Light like the Packers had to deal with. That would have been the best moment we could hope for. All right. So let's talk about the year ahead. 2021 is upon us. And of course, you know, we're already well into February and coming in towards March, which traditionally a very big season between St. Pat's and spring break and spring training. What are we looking ahead towards in terms of expectations? What are you guys focused on for the year in terms of themes, but also in terms of innovation and brands? And, you know, what should we be paying attention to in the year ahead?
Well, one thing for sure is, you know, we look at our business, you know, how do we do versus prior year? And, you know, January and February last year were normal. March on was certainly not normal. So it's going to be interesting because we're going to have, you know, volume's not going to line up necessarily like it has in past years. You know, April, a lot of stuff was shut down. So our volume was down this year, you know, versus prior year, we'll have a big month. But then we had the pantry load in May and June, and, you know, we're going to think we are heroes coming out of April, and then May we might go, uh-oh. So it's going to be interesting. But in both Florida and Minnesota, Pete and his team and Chris and his team have put together, you know, very good plans. And, you know, we can't – well, John has a crystal ball, but I don't. And I'm not sure, you know, how COVID and the on-premise is going to open up. But we feel bullish that, you know, we'll start getting some business back in the on-premise. And juice, right around the corner here. We'll have St. Patrick's Day, and I guess that'll let us know, you know, what the rest of the year might hold.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is clearly my favorite beer holiday, and it is sort of the unofficial kickoff of the beer season. So hopefully in Minnesota and where there's a bigger St. Patrick's Day presence, but certainly in Florida there is some as well. And hopefully this year it'll be better, and we'll be returning to a sense of normalcy. You know, I read an article from a doctor at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore saying that COVID is rapidly disappearing due to the number of people that have had it, the number of people that have had it that didn't know they had it, and the number of people that have been vaccinated. So, you know, we need to encourage everybody to get vaccinated as soon as it's available to you. I see in Florida that the governor is going to allow it for people, teachers and policemen and firefighters over the age of 50. I see in Minnesota that the governor is considering allowing essential workers, which we are. So J.J. Taylor's a company. We're on that to make it easy for our staff to get the injection, the vaccine. And I think it's important to get it and for your family members to get it as soon as possible, because the sooner we all do that, the sooner we'll be back to a normal life, and the new normal will be different, I think. You know, in Asian cultures, people, when they were sick, they always wore masks. And I think in Europe and America, certainly people are sick, they never wear masks, and they feel pretty comfortable about coughing on other people and spreading whatever, the cold or the flu or whatever. And I think masks will be you know, part of our future going forward. I think if you're sick, you should wear a mask, and we'll see how that works out. But hopefully there's a culture change, and, you know, nobody likes to be sick. So I think, you know, maybe there'll be some positives that come out of this whole COVID disaster. And but I think that by September, certainly, that we will have enough people in America vaccinated that we'll be back to, you know, some semblance of what we were in 2019. Not entirely, of course, but I do think that that'll be the new normal, and we'll all have to adapt to it. And, you know, it's I read that in London they're going to require, if you want to go into a pub, they're going to require you to show your card that you got your shot or your two shots, whatever it may be. So I think that will certainly become just like when you get on an airplane, you have to show your ID, or you go to a bar if you're you know, a younger adult, you have to show your ID to get service. So I think that will probably become part and parcel of America and the entire world.
No, I completely agree. And I think to your point, John, yeah, the masking's been normalized in Asian cultures. I think that's one of those things that's going to probably become much more normalized in Western culture as well. I think especially travel, and, you know, probably get used to wearing them on a plane. I mean, it's been 20 years. I'm still taking my shoes off at the TSA line, so I assume I'll be wearing a mask for the foreseeable future as well. And, you know, these are the things that we need to do. But if there's some good to come out of it, I hope that it is that people learn that, you know, if you're sick, stay away from others, stay home. If there's, you know, again, something we've all hopefully learned out of this is, don't feel like you have to work your way through an illness. You've got a duty to the people around you to take care of yourself, both so that you can get back to work healthy and better, but also to, you know, protect the people around us by getting the vaccines and by, you know, maintaining the social distancing and doing the courtesy things that we can do for each other that makes things a little easier and hopefully gets us back to a more normal world quicker, sooner than later.
It'll be interesting to see if handshakes, which is one of my favorite things to do, ever come back, because it sort of breaks my heart. You go into the warehouse or you go to a sales meeting or something, and everybody wants to shake hands, and it's just like, oh yeah, I don't know, dude. step back. So it for me, it's almost tragic. I love to be with our customers, our suppliers, and most importantly, our staff. And it's been, for me, it's been a difficult year, but so we'll get back to normal soon.
Got to embrace the fist bump, John.
The fist bump. Yeah. I'm just getting used to that, or the elbow thing. I never really got good at the elbow thing, but the fist bump is coming back. So,
all right. So let's talk about specifically around the business again, looking ahead to this year. What brands are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? Innovation from suppliers? What should we be excited to get ready for as the year comes ahead and at us? Obviously, seltzer is still a big category with a lot to do, but there's probably some other places. And I know we're moving into some new and interesting areas with NAs and some other stuff in some of our divisions. So I'm curious to hear, what are you guys watching in 2021?
Well, the foundation of our business in both Minnesota and Florida is Miller Lite. Florida, we're also fortunate to have Coors Light. While those brands are not growing, I'd say they're stabilized, but they are growing share of the light beer category. Is, Bud Light, the largest brand, nationally, it's not quite as big in Minnesota as it is in Florida, is down. So, it's really important that we continue to do the work that we do around Miller Lite and in Florida also Coors Light. Seltzers in both markets, Vizzy, we've got some innovation coming. They've got a second variety pack that'll be out shortly, and then there'll be a lemonade variety pack that'll be coming out, and we're excited about that in both markets.
I thought Vizzy was, just to chime in on that, I thought Vizzy was one of the better flavor innovations of the last year. The profile on that's good. If you haven't tried Vizzy, it's definitely worth a pickup, because I think if you struggle with some of the sweetness of some of the others, Vizzy had a nice blend on their flavoring.
Yeah, and everybody talks about, when they bring out a new seltzer, it's, hey, this is different, but I think Vizzy really did it with the, vitamin C and antioxidants, and, they're I believe the first to do it. I don't know if they'll be the only to do it, but it is a point of difference. And Jeff, to your point, it's a good taste in liquid. Both Florida and Minnesota, and this will mean more to us in Minnesota, also from Molson Coors, is Hop Valley, craft brand out of Oregon. We feel it's very bullish in Minnesota because we're close enough to that market. So Florida is very chain-driven, so if it gets into Publix and Walmart and Winn-Dixie, I think we'll do with it well here too, because it's, very good. It's called Hop Bubble and Hop Stash, and, they're very IPA-forward beers and, good liquid.
I think hard kombucha is the next big deal, and we've got a great one by Embers in both markets, so keep an eye on hard kombucha. I'm not saying it's going to be a big deal in 2021, but it's going to grow. And the other thing I'm watching closely and is growing very nicely is Heineken 00. I think no alcohol beers, and we've got some other ones coming out that are with more different flavors, and I think that you'll see non-alcohol beers become more popular in 2021 and moving forward.
I agree completely on the NA beer side of things. I've told this story to Jay and John certainly a couple of times before, but prior to moving to the U.S. and living overseas for years, we had the opportunity to watch the NA beer space grow in the U.K. and Europe more broadly. And part of that was, I think, driven by regulation and law. Drink driving or drunk driving laws are zero tolerance over there, which means that you can't go to the bar and have a beer or two beers with your friends over a couple of hours and drive home. And rather than people not going to the bar or going to the bar and having a glass of OJ, the market, the industry, came up with good-tasting NA products, and people adopted them. And the numbers are pretty high and kind of speak for themselves. I think in the UK, non-alcohol or alcohol-free products are high single digits of total beer consumption. And if you look at a country like Spain, it's even higher. It's 14, 15%. I don't know that the U.S. will ever get there, but I think we're at 1% or less of total beer now is NA in the U.S. So there's a lot of room to grow there. I think there are a number of new producers doing great quality NA beers, as well as suppliers in our portfolio, including Heineken with 00, producing great tasting NA beers. And I think what we will begin to see is NA beers not only replace existing beer occasion, someone having an NA beer instead of a 4 or 5% beer at the bar or at home. But I think you're going to see them create new beer occasions. People having an NA beer at lunch because it's a great tasting, relatively low cal product. It's better for you, I would argue, than having a Coca-Cola. People have them after they exercise because it's relatively hydrating and it gives you a boost of some of the carbs that you might need. So I think there's huge room for growth for NA beers, both replacing existing beer occasions, but also creating new occasions.
Well, I agree with what Zach just said, and on one point I disagree. I'll go with the disagree point first. After a bike ride of 50 miles, I'm going to drink a Hi-Li.
You might be in the minority on that, Jay.
You know, it's got more carbs than these NA beers, and, you know, that's what I need. I need carbs, so.
But there's not a lot of guys that ride 50 miles at a crack, so you are in a very small 0.0001% of the population.
All right, duly noted. But I do agree with the growth of NA beers, and Zach talked about it. It's because some of these NA beers are really good. I mean, they taste like beer, unlike the O'Doul's and, you know, the other NA beers that we knew of as non-alcoholic beers in America. You know, Heineken, John talked about 00. We're going to get 12-pack cans here shortly. That's going to be big. Unfortunately, we won't have these two brands in Minnesota, but the Sam Adams Just the Haze, which is their non-alcoholic beer, it tastes like a hazy IPA. It's really good. And then the Dogfish, I think, is lemon zest, and that was really good, very refreshing, and tastes like beer. So, you know, and we've had one in the portfolio for a while, Klosthaller. You know, very good beer, and I'm not sure in Minnesota, but I know in Florida, I think we sell 1,500 cases a month. It's a pretty big brand in Publix.
It almost feels like a backhanded compliment to say it, but the truth of the matter is the best thing about these new generation is they taste like beer. You put a Heineken 00 and a Heineken side-by-side to a typical consumer, they probably can't even tell which one they're drinking. And I think that's such a important milestone for this category to hit that people just don't miss a thing when they pick that up.
We've done blindfold taste tests, Heineken 00, and it's not just consumers. I think the best we got was about 50% of our employees that we did this with could pick out Heineken versus 00. So, yeah, they've done a really good job at making it taste like Heineken.
All right, so we've got big moves coming in some new seltzers. We've got some new brands for Molson Coors. We've got the NA category. What else in 2021 is worth watching?
Well, in both markets, we're going to dabble a little bit in, you know, true non-alcoholics, not just non-alcoholic beer, but, you know, non-alcoholics. If it makes sense, maybe craft spirits. Both Chris and his team and Pete and his team are looking closely at opportunities. And a couple, you know, Molson Coors just announced a partnership with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, with an energy drink, Zoa, that's, you know, supposed to be, it's got good stuff in it, not the stuff that the existing energy drinks have that supposedly aren't good for you. So, you know, we're bullish that could potentially be a pretty big brand as an example.
Jay, anything that has The Rock behind it is going to be successful.
I agree.
Who's The Rock? He's big. I know that.
I know you're a big fan of WWE wrestling, John. So it's he's a former wrestler, now turned movie star.
And in fact, I believe he was the highest paid movie star in the world the past couple of years.
He's certainly the most hardworking because he's been in everything over the last few years. Just does not turn anything down and makes a lot of stuff out of nothing, it seems sometimes. But yeah, it's a entertainer and personality and soon to be DC Comics hero and others. So
I was channel surfing and, you know, nothing's on. I see Walking Tall, the movie. And I thought, oh yeah, this is the one I saw, you know, 30 years ago with Buford Pusser. And I don't even know who the actor was. And
back when you were having a Jenny's cream soda?
Cream ale.
Cream ale, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And turned it on, it's like Dwayne Johnson's in it. I didn't know he did a movie, Walking Tall, and actually it was pretty good. You know, he had the same big, actually his stick was bigger than the one Buford had. So in Florida, shortly, we'll be rolling out Black Rifle Coffee. So it's a, you know, ready to drink coffee, kind of like Starbucks, or, you know, you can find Dunkin' Donuts that we're very bullish on. La Colombe also from Molson Coors. We're looking at Zen Water, which is, you know, a high-end water. We'll be rolling in Florida. Actually, also in Florida, we're talking to a, maybe I shouldn't mention the name, but we're talking to another high-end water company.
I'll bleep it out for you.
As well as a couple other energy drinks, so Killcliff and Amino Energy. So as our cards say, we sell beer, but John talked about gross profit per delivery. And, you know, if we're going to an account and we can also take two cases of high-end water and three or four cases of, you know, an energy drink and maybe a case of vodka, then, you know, that increases the gross profit for that delivery, and we're going there anyway. So, you know, we don't want them all. We just want the ones that, you know, we think are good partners and provide us good gross profit and consumers are going to want.
And these are all growing categories, right, Jeff? So the innovation in coffee and RTD coffee is growing rapidly. Energy continues to grow. High-end water continues to grow. So I think as a company, we're picking the right places to invest, which are categories that continue to grow quickly and the right products within those categories that we think are the bets to make.
Well, and that's the key, right, is that at the end of the day, the business we're in is a relationship business with these accounts. We are their trusted advisor. And yes, primarily we're their beer advisor, but they know us, they love us, we're going there. If we can put more stuff on the truck that's going to allow our guys to make a little extra because they're delivering more, allow us to pick up a little extra margin because it's there, why not? And I think that's great to see the story emerging that, you know, we're looking holistically at the business and what can we do to really continue to drive profitability and volumes and things that are going to lift everybody's boat. So fun story with all the new stuff that's coming, because it'll definitely be interesting to see some new products around the warehouse that are not necessarily beers in cans. All right. What else? 2021, anything, not necessarily portfolio or business themes, but perhaps just themes in general around how we work, how we collaborate. Obviously, it's going to be people first because that's what we do. But I'm just curious, other themes and thoughts for 2021 ahead as we move towards it.
Well, I talked about silver linings coming out of COVID, and I know one that our sales teams are using is Microsoft Teams. Pretty amazing. You know, instead of having to come into the warehouse or the office once a week, and I know some of you, it's, you know, an hour drive in and then an hour drive back out to the market. Now you can actually be in your market and, you know, hop on Teams. Your manager can share files with you. You get to see the rest of your team, have a, you know, quick productive meeting and then get right back to work. So it's much more efficient. You know, I'm using Teams more and more, and it's a very powerful tool. And that's just one of those silver linings that, you know, we still at some point in time when whatever the new normal is, we'll want to get back together and have, you know, meetings together. But do we need to do it every week? Probably not. You know, we can do some virtual and some get together and probably be more, I mean, definitely be more efficient and get more done.
But for sure, we're not going to abandon getting together and having a cold beer or hard kombucha or seltzer, because that's what we do. And I think the sociability is the thing that I've missed most in the last year. And I think we'll be getting back to that soon. So yes, the whole meeting structure, we talked earlier today about business travel. And I think, you know, as people become more comfortable, they'll have some making up to do in business travel, but business travel and meetings will never be the same. And perhaps office work will never be the same. So a lot of interesting learnings over the past year because of COVID. So some of it was very positive and some of it obviously very negative. But I think that the way we do business moving forward will be different. I think, you know, we're starting this year to lean into online ordering, and certainly during COVID, a lot of people didn't go to a grocery store. They had groceries delivered to them or toothpaste or whatever via, you know, DoorDash or meals to go. I think a lot of those things will remain largely in place. So I think the efficiency of meetings and but we will never lose the sociability of the beer business because it is the why civilization exists.
Yeah, it's definitely been a year of pivot and change. I gave a speech 2 weeks ago to Training Magazine's national conference, which was virtual this year, and talking about the the podcasting that we're doing, and we were featured as one of their innovators alongside Microsoft and UPS and Google and a handful of others.
That's some good company, big boy.
Yeah. You should see the flyer they put. It was the Fortune 50 and JJ Taylor. I was like, that's right. You will be judged by the company you keep. But the message that I had and the message really of the whole conference was that, the hardest part of change is the catalyst. The hardest part of change is getting people to accept that the world has to be different. And with this, if there's anything we've gotten out of the last year, it's that the world has to be different. And everybody right now is more open to change than I think we've ever seen. Some of those changes I think will revert, but some of them I think we'll be able to keep. And business travel and the way we do some stuff, the podcasting is going to stick around regardless. We're going to use Teams more regardless. We may not use it for everything as we do now, but we'll use it for more than we used to. And those are some of the ways that we're going to rebound stronger, which is sort of the theme I think going into 2021, is we're going to rebound stronger from this and not just get back to where we were, but get back to where we were in some key ways, different, but also better. So I think definitely Teams is one of those. I think there's, several of them that we've seen in the training realm between podcasting and some others, but anything else in that realm that you guys are looking at, I'm always excited to hear about, because I think that's part of the fun of this as we bounce back, is to realize that we can do it in a better way than we were before. All right. So we're getting towards the top of the hour, and we like to try and keep these on schedule as I do. So I will open it up to just final thoughts. Any final thoughts you want to give everybody as we head into 2021, put 2020 behind us and make this transition point happen? What do we really want to keep focused on, look ahead or any other big ideas before we wrap it up?
I'd just like to thank everybody. It was a very difficult year on personal and physical and, very tough on a lot of people, families. I know people didn't see their children or grandchildren or grandparents or parents for months at a time. And I want to thank everybody at JJ Taylor for pulling together. We are a family, and we work through it. COVID hasn't gone away, but we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So I just want to thank everybody for doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
It's tough to top that, but I second that. I think a thank you to everyone. And I will just add that I've been here a short time, but this is a really remarkable company. And what John and the Taylor family and the leadership team and the managers and the employees have built over the past decades is very impressive. And I think the potential for this year to continue to grow is huge, and I think we can execute against it, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to join all of you and be part of this team.
I will third that and then add, as this company was built on first choice, 2021 is just more first choice. When we make decisions, we're going to think about how it affects employees, customers, and suppliers. And, John has said it for years. At the end of the day, we just need to do what's right. And that's what we will do in 2021.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for being here and joining me for it. Our first real live session recording of the Brew University virtual roundtable. It wasn't a virtual roundtable. We had an actual roundtable, which was fun for this one. So thank you all very much for being here. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Jeff. Thanks for getting us together.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime. And thank you all for joining us as well. From wherever you are, we appreciate you tuning in and checking this out. You can, of course, be subscribed to make sure you get every episode of the Brew University Virtual Roundtable, or check out all the different podcasts we're doing at jjtaylor.com/podcasting, because it's all there for you. We'll be back in another month. And until then, have a great, safe, and well time out there getting the essential work done. Appreciate everything you do.